Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
Shout out to Robin and Steven in Newburgh, North Carolina for winning that Peastone board from Billy at Backdoor.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I don't think so. Winner, winner, Sheen dinner.
Other than that, here's my guest.
All right, this is Shrink and Shannon, and you're tuning in to Talking Schmidt, and let's get talking.
A little bit of intro.
Talking Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
When you bring it, you gotta sing it.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean, bro? Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
The Dodgers.
Big dog's in.
What do you think, Colin?
We on? Schmidt?
You wanna break in, you gotta get broke in.
And it's good to hear all this love.
Talking Schmidt, right?
It's skateboarding.
I remember that.
Who sent you?
Dude, we need a magazine.
Black skateboarding history is very important.
Yes. This is the moment.
Holy shit.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
So last year I was at the Giants game and there's this like dude out on the field and he throws out the first pitch and it's Flavor Flav.
Oh yeah.
And I took a photo with him and I'm pretty sure you chimed in and was like, true or false, I'm related to Flavor Flav.
Yep.
Is that true?
That is true. Yep. Fucking goddamn William Drayton.
That's no way.
He's on my dad's side. It was my dad's oldest brother's son. So he's my cousin.
No way. Have you ever kicked it with him?
No, though.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Now he much older than me. So I was like, I didn't find this out till I was like little older in my teens. And I always thought it was bullshit too. I was like, quit fucking with me, dude. Like, you're not, nah. He's like, no, yeah. Now I'm looking into it. And then I just keep confirming it. I'm like, damn, I really am. That's fucking pretty fucking wild and shit, dude. Flavor Flav. But yeah.
He's one of the best hype men out.
Yeah. It was a trip and shit, dude. I was like, that's cool. And then my dad's brother actually confirmed it too, because he's from New York and that whole side of the family and shit. And he's like, yeah, that's true. I'm like, damn, okay. Well, I wasn't bullshitting people. I ain't. one day we can link in and shit, dude. You never know.
So you mentioned it earlier, but to me, like, the Black Label days has to be fucking just insane. John's one of the, you know, he's a pioneer and just an epic classic dude. He's always ran his shit like kind of on the low, like he's not doing it through a big corporation or nothing. It's a hands-on thing. Jason Adams is in there stenciling shit. Like, you just have the vibe of these are skaters doing it their way. He has a very, very, you know, like, this is John shit. When you see it, you're like, John did that, like, you know what I mean? And like Chet Childress, Alfaro, all those dudes, like, just talk about the early, like, getting on with that, because we'll eventually get to King of the Road, which I need to like talk to you about for sure.
Yeah, good old days. But yeah, Black Label days, man, those are some that I cherish a lot and shit, you know, from the early beginning too. That was I was at a contest. I was at a Dam Am, Costa Mesa. And this was, I think, actually the first contest I actually did really well at. I placed third. And I should have fucking won. But, you know, those kids come in and fuck it up. And you're like, I almost had it.
Who the fuck was judging, man?
For real. But
Sinclair fucked me.
I had gotten done with a run or whatever. And I walked off the course. And then this dude was like, yo, that was sick. And that was cool. And it happened to be John. And I was like, oh, sick. And I walked away, you know, did my thing. I was on Osiris at that time because Pigwood was under, it went under, and I just had the shoe sponsor basically for the AM. It was like a question, like, what the fuck am I going to get on? Like, am I going to get on the board brand, or am I just going to be a wash and shit and be another one just to, you know, move it along and shit. And then, right after that contest, about like a week later, Kong from Osiris, he was team manager at that time, hit me up. He's like, hey, fucking John Lucero hit me up. He wants to, like, you know, talk and, you know, see what you're thinking about, you know, Black Label. Do you have any thoughts about, you know, trying to get on Black Label? And mind you, at this time, I had no thoughts of like what? Like, I know Black Label very well. I know John very well. Like, I'm just, you know, a knowing of the brand and shit. And for me, I'm like, dude, I'm a young black skater. I got dreads. I'm baggy pants. I'm kind of the complete opposite of the whole brand and shit, dude.
Yeah.
But it was like one thing of like to really think about of like, yeah, if you got on any other board company, it was like, you know, things were like, oh, that made sense, all this. And it was like kind of a strategic move of like, well, like there's Label and like John and, you know, that could be something that fools are not even expecting and shit, you know. And it was like, and I think John saw it too. He was like, yo, like this could, you know, spark a little interest in something, you know. And so I went up and talked to John and we chopped it up and he was fucking amazing. So I'm like, yeah, I think that's my decision. I'm going to fucking get on Label and shit. And I think like, yeah, the day after I was on Label. And so, yeah. And then we go on some trips and get, you know, tied in, tapped in. I go up to his warehouse at the time up in Costa Mesa, and, you know, getting boards, doing our thing and traveling with Osiris. So it was like perfect. So it integrated perfectly. So and then I got my first ad. And I was like, all right, cool. This is, you know, moving. It's working our way up. And I think caught off guard, like, damn, Label, Black Street, like this. Okay, this is different for sure. This is interesting because this is the complete opposite of what anybody thought, I think, and shit, dude. Yeah. So and then I think it was about, I was AM for about 2 years, I believe so, until he gave me my board and shit. And I was like completely caught off guard. Yeah, come up to the office and shit. And I'm like, all right, cool. Another random day, you know, just I've been up there all the time and shit. We skate, we chill, skate the curves, fucking chop it up, you know, go to lunch, bullshit. Sure. And then we're talking and he's like one of those things. He's like one of those hints, like, hey, look, I'm not going to tell you yet, but like, hey, look what I got behind me type of shit. I'm like, I'm oblivious as fuck. I'm probably stoned to the bone too. And she's like, oh, I don't know what's going on. That's fucking what's going on and shit. And then there's like a rack of my boards and shit. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, for real? Like, okay, I guess. Like, what the, if you say it's cool, I'm cool.
Yeah.
And that's where my pro journey started with Label, and it was the funnest experience. Like, we traveled a lot, dude. Alfaro and the boys, Chet, fucking Chris Troy, dude. That was some good time. Jeff Grasso, you know, was fucking.
Oh yeah.
Man, so many heads and shit, but it was like. That was some of the funnest times and shit. And John always kept it straight up real and shit. He always kept it like, yo, this is what we're doing. Everybody on this level is pretty much equal. Like, you know, every pro is literally equal on a level. And then y'all, you know, do your thing with, you know, boards and stuff like that. But he kept it like across the board with heads. Like, nobody was bigger than nobody. Even if they had a bigger name and shit like that, it was kind of like, oh, shit, like, that's fucking rad. And he's always kept it informed, you know. A lot of like companies just don't keep shit informed, and then you'll get hit at the last minute and shit. And like, dude, if something was wrong with the company, and he fucking like, he ain't sugarcoating, he's like, yo, we gotta do. Like, I didn't get paid for a whole year just by the fact that, like, yo, I know what you're going through. Like, he had to do this, that, and I'm like, I was cool with it, and it was like, and it was still at the point where like I was had Osiris and a couple other companies too that Bill belonged to at the time. And I was like, yo, man, I know how it is. Board brands, it's different because it's board brands, shoe companies, clothing companies, different brackets. You know what
for
I mean?
For sure. Yep.
And obviously, you get the more money on the clothing and the shoes and shit, but. We all know how board brands are. Every board brand is different, but at the time he was, you know, he was doing well and shit. He was doing still decent enough, you know, board sales. Graphics were coming out every 3 months. So that was sick. I think that was the dopest shit because no, like it's so like most of these companies, they don't have boards coming out so often and so frequent like that and shit. Mm-hmm. He was just, he wanted to keep everything fresh, new, whatever it may be and shit. He didn't want to have things just stagnant and just sitting on the shelves and shit.
Right.
He always kept it raw like that. And he was always the, you know, the artist, the everything and shit. So he did his thing and, man, like, yeah, I commend him on everything he does and shit. He's like one of the realest ones that I've got to be a part of. I was blessed to be a part of, you know, the whole squad. I was sad as fuck when I fucking had to leave that shit. I'm like, my heart broke for sure. I think I was more fucked up than anybody else was and shit. But
what was the first graphic? Do you remember?
Oh yeah, that was it was like a Newcastle beer replica of, it was a Ninja Star. It was brown, had a Ninja Star, and it had a dragon going up around it. And it said brewed in San Diego. It was pretty cool.
And John drew it?
Yeah, John did everything and shit.
That's so sick.
I'm like, man, yeah. He always has dopest shit. He always came out with the dopest graphics, dopest fucking concepts, dopest collection. Like, those are collectibles, bro. Like,
for real.
I consider like a brand to have collectibles on everything they do is like, dude, you can't go wrong. That's art. That's everything. That's lifestyle. That's fucking skateboarding and shit. And I'm like, dude, and he's still fucking kicking it and still fucking nailing it to this day and shit, dude. So,
I know. Big shout out to John for sure.
Shout out.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, let's go to 2007, King of the Road. It's pretty crazy because it was my first trip with Jake. That was the first time I ever flew with the Felper. And I was kind of nervous. I was like, fuck, flying with this maniac. And then I got a room with this maniac and I had never done it before. So I'm a guy that gets anxious before trips anyway. So that one was extra, you know, like, ugh. But it turned out to be the most insane thing because we went to Milwaukee. It's the midway point for the King of the Road. And what's his name? Daniel Haney. He flies in and he's got a fucking parachute with him. And we pick him up. We're like, dude, what? That will stick out as one of the craziest. But they had the midway contest there and everything. And then Jake just jumped into your guys' van and did the second half.
Yeah, so that was unexpected as fuck. I don't know how that even fucking happened, but he's like, yeah, I'm riding with y'all now. I'm like, what? All right. You know, it's Rhino, P-Stone.
That was his team. I mean, once Preston and Rhino are in there, it was easy for him to pick. Like, that's what I'm going.
It really was. He's like, let's fucking do it and shit. And mind you, Felpers, you know, it's Felpers and shit, dude. It's, you either love him or you either hate him. Like, dude, I was fucking stoked. Like, it was definitely intimidating at times because it was like, yo, he's a fucking dude. And he's like literally the walking encyclopedia of fucking skateboarding. Somehow, I don't know how he remembers so much shit that I'm like, yo, dope, how do you remember this? There's no way you remember this of that and when it happened. You're a nut, and that's amazing. And so he hopped in the van and it was fucking pure madness ever since that shit, dude. And it was like, we had 30 packs every fucking day. He'd come bring a 30 pack, bow, rack, let's go, fuckers. I'm like, let's fucking do this and shit. Slamming fucking beers all the way through the trip. And then this is what King of the Road was like basically 2 weeks long, or like it was a little longer than they were doing it before. They were only doing it like a
short time. I think it was East Coast to West Coast, right?
Yeah, it was that. Yeah, it was a good stretch. So it was a good 2 weeks. So, and yeah, it was fucking, dude. He was definitely hype of the fucking motivation, like hype of the sesh. He'd fucking smoke all our weed. it was at a one point in time that we're like, yo, we cannot pass this for the fucking joint. It's not by the fact that we didn't want to give it to him. It was literally we roll a fucking fresh spliff. Fucking light it up, smoking it, and he'd be like, he'd be in the front. He's always in the fucking front. So he didn't even need to look. He'd be like this and shit. Like this. And we're like, dude, all right, like give, beginning it was fine. He'd be smoking and chilling, passing it. But then we'd brand new fucking split, smoke it, pass it to him, he'd throw it out the window.
What?
I was like, yo, did he just fucking do that? Did he just, I'm tripping, right? I'm tripping. Okay, so we're doing it again. We're smoking and shit. He does it again. I'm like, he's tripping, dude. Like, does he know that's not a fucking brand new joint and shit, dude? Like, does he think it's a roach and shit? Like, I'm like, he's wilding. I'm like, yo, like, even if he wants the shit, you gotta, yeah, oh, dog, like, sorry, dog. Like, I'm like, we want you to smoke, but just stop throwing it out the window. But that was, he was a character, dude. Like,
you got to tell the story about the ditch.
Yeah, the ditch, though. The ditch. that was great. I'm still tripping. It got on film and shit, dude.
Yeah.
King of the Road in the credits and shit. And so we're at a spot where the ditch is like a bump and it goes into a fucking ditch. A pretty known spot in New Mexico. And, I'm trying to tray flip in this ditch, and I'm like, how the bump was, it kind of extends you straight up and then just drops you straight down. And I was having trouble getting my balance. And so I was like, fuck, let's just push on. Let's go to the next spot and shit. And I'm like, fuck. And I'm me thinking about it. I'm like, dude, I can't stop thinking about this damn trick. Like, we're still in town. Like, hey y'all, I'm sorry. Can we go back? And, so we end up going back and shit, like a few hours later and shit, go back to the ditch. All the homies are like, there's the spot, ditch, and then there's like the bank, and then there's a flat up top, and all the homies are chilling on the top. And it was like Phelps, P-Stone, Chris Troy on the top and shit. And I'm like, all right, still trying the trick. I'm getting back into the groove of things and shit. I'm like, I think I got it. So I finally landed the trick, boom, stomped it, and I was like, sick. So I'm riding on the bank, and I'm riding back down the other bank, and then all of a sudden, I ollie, and midair, I just feel, I don't think anything hit me, really. And then I look on the ground, and it's a fucking, a splattered apple. And I'm like, what? Wait. So Phelps was on the top smoking out of the apple, mid smoke. I did the trick. He got hyped and was like, boom, threw the fucking apple and ended up binking me in my head, exploding all over my head. And I'm like, what the fools are like, oh my God. I think he thinks I'm going to go over there and just beat his ass. And he's like, literally, like, shook, like, nah, I don't even know what the fuck happened and shit, dude. I'm like, that was actually kind of funny though, dude. Like, what the fuck happened? Like, you literally threw a smoking apple at my head, and it actually hit me. And it wasn't like no short distance too.
Literally was
launch. And I'm like, the how it happened.
The chances were like 0.8%.
Insane. And then the fact that it was all caught on fucking film too. P-Stone filmed it. You could fucking slightly see it and shit.
Yeah.
Like, my God. Like, I don't know how that happened, but yeah, it literally exploded all over my head. And that was a wrap of their smoking session. But I got the trick, got the exploded apple on my head, and Phelps was hype. I guess that was a key moment and shit. So
yeah, that's forever.
It was all worth it and shit.
Was that the same trip where the brakes almost went out when you guys were at the high elevation, the mountain?
Yep. yeah, there's some smart ass idea. Oh, Burnett's smart idea. They're like, yeah, you gotta go. You gotta time the whatever peak of the
Pike's
mountain.
Peak. Yeah,
Pike's Peak. We're all trekking up there. Fucking Slash gets altitude sickness while he's up there. We all pretty much start getting fucked up because we're not used to it and shit. And we're like, dude, but it was, they had to do a kickflip on the top of the fucking, on the very top of Pike's Peak. And then, and that was the challenge. And, but the altitude was so gnarly at that time. I'm like, yeah, everybody's fucked up. Like everybody's kind of getting fucked up. And I think actually Slash ended up doing it. And then ended up getting altitude sickness because we had to stop halfway through. So he had to throw up and shit. And then by the time we were getting back down, the brakes are fucking smoking because the just the hill and the, everything was just, it just couldn't handle it. And then
yeah, there's a lot of weight.
Yeah, we had to stop again. We're like, dude, this is the most sketchiest. Who thought of this challenge? Like, you literally almost fucking, like, y'all almost slid us down the whole hill and shit, the whole mountain and shit. So, and then we were just stoked just to get down. Like, dude, let's get the fuck out of here. Onto the next city, dude. Onto the next challenge, wherever that was. But mm-hmm. that was, like, the most randomest shit. And, like, why the fuck we do that, dude? those challenges were crazy then, dude. They're big like, time. I think they had to ease up on the challenges because they were getting fucking ruthless. Fools were getting pissed off. Fools were getting like, dude, like mad at one another for most of these challenges and shit.
Yeah, there was definitely a learning curve. There was some things that was like, oh, we're not doing that again.
it was some fucking just free for all type of shit. And they're like, well, fuck, we're pissing off everybody. We're fucking, yeah, it was definitely a wild King of the Road experience and shit.
It's kind of one of my favorite endings though with the barrel jump. When it was like Nuge versus Slash, and I think they got up to like 13 or somewhere, they would skate and then jump over the barrels and get onto another board. And they started at like 4 or 5, and it went all the way to like 13, I think. Yeah. And that fucking, was it Slash? I think won, right? And he went out the door all sketchy. Like, yeah, that was pretty
all doing sick. It. We're all fucking jumping the barrels. We're like, oh, this is sick. But I think by the time it was like, hit the 5 mark, we're like, we're all over it. We're like, and then the only two dudes were like, oh, we're keep going. And those are the ones you see and shit. And you're like, yo, it was getting wild. But they were extending their body and shit. Dude, it was the most fucking just big base jump type shit.
Yeah.
Like, yo, what the fuck? 13 is outrageous, though. Been going that fast. Because fools were slamming, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was the whole point. A full, it was a carcass toss.
Yeah, of course.
Slammed and it's handled and shit, though. that was a good ending. Everybody was fucking killing it and raging.
So, did you go from Label to Santa Cruz? Was that, or was there something in between?
Yeah, I went from Label over on to Santa Cruz. Yeah, that was the devastating pivotal moment that I was shook by because. I probably didn't want to do it, you know, because it was like, yeah, I love John, dude. It was the shit, you know. We did our thing, and then, unfortunately, at that time, like, dude, I'm older now. I'm like, dude, I gotta live. Like, this is how I'm living now and shit. Like, all right, I gotta find some opportunity. And even prior to that, E-Man and Rhino, I think he kind of wanted me to get on like a like way before. Probably like a year prior, and I was like, nah, I'm still, you know, I'm riding with John, you know, hopefully he makes it out of, you know, we're going to continue to do this thing. And then it just got to the point where we're like, yo, like, you should jump on over here. Yeah, right after an indie trip, it was like, what up again? Like, I was like, fuck, man, you're not wrong and shit. Like, I want to keep moving. I want to keep elevating. I hate being stagnant and shit. And I was like, I need to keep progressing. And I think this is, I can progress over here, I guess, you know, and it was E-Man at the time. Rhino was heavily involved because obviously NHS.
Strubing,
the TM at the time, Jordan Tabayoyan.
Oh, yeah, Jordan.
Shout out.
Yeah, he brought me in and it was cool. He was always cool as fuck.
Mm.
And then, yeah, we sat down and just kind of chopped it up and, you know, try to figure something else out. And, you know, for what it was at the time, and it was like, you know, it wasn't much, but it was something to like keep moving and keep going and grooving. And so I was like, fuck, I made that leap. And then, like, right after I too, that was the most devastating call to fucking John. I was fucking shook.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's been through it. He knows what's up. He's been fucking around for so long, and he knows routine. You know, he wants to see nobody go on that type of tip and shit, you know. And, but, you know, it's you can only do so much and shit, you know. And in the end, it was like, fuck, man. Yeah, I got to do what I got to do, what's best for, you know, myself at this time. Because I'm, mind you, I come from nothing. I have nothing. I need to fucking keep going and keep things going because nothing else is going to fucking happen for me unless I keep this fucking machine grooving.
Mm. And
so it was cool. It was cool at that time. You know, the first couple of years was cool and shit.
How long did you ride for them?
5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the first couple of years were cool. Then I think around like the last couple of years, the shift was just all over the place. And then a whole other bunch of shit came along with it. And some people lie about a lot of things too, and false accusations about myself of like things that I was doing, and which ultimately fucking led to, you know, me getting off and shit. And it was fucking threw me for a loop. But, you know, it's sometimes in this industry, some people really don't have your best intentions and shit. Mm. Kind of looking out for themselves or whoever's around them and shit. And fuck it.
So what do you do in that moment? Like, are you fucking down and out for a while, or do you just say, I gotta light the fire and fucking figure something else? Like, what's your mentality?
Yeah, that was because, you know, my mentality, I was fucking, you know, I was moving and grooving. I was doing exactly what I was supposed to do and shit, you know. And when they hit me with something they thought I wasn't doing, and it turns out to be completely wrong, and a lot of things that just shit didn't add up. And I'm like, dude, that shit don't sit well with me. I'm like, that's fucked up. So, yeah, I called it out. It was what it was. I'm like, fuck, dude, like, fuck y'all for doing some shady shit. It's not the first time, you know. It's like, you know, Osiris did some shit. It's just the industry on that fucking same tip. And like, dude, it's not personally with the fucking rider. It's crazy because it's business. Obviously, we're in the business and shit, but there's mm-hmm. a way to do fucking certain things, and especially out of respect, what we're obviously all trying to fucking, you know, have respect towards. I can't respect a lot of shit that they did, especially towards my fucking situation. And it was like, yo, that was dead ass wrong. Y'all knew it, and all your team knows it too. But you know, that's just, you know, not the way it fucking worked out and shit. You know, I wish things were laid out a little differently, because in the end, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'll keep pushing. Like, y'all didn't make me. Y'all definitely ain't gonna break me. Mm. But and it was like, fuck, man. But yeah, I was depressed for a while, man. I was like, what the fuck happened? What'd I do? Like, I did something like, what the fuck? And then, like, they're literally making me look fucking bad. And like, I'm doing something fucking wrong. And I'm like, man, that's whack. But, and then they, you know, had a lot of choice of words on another platform that I thought was false. And yeah, dead ass caught them in that. But it's particular people, and, you know, it's not, you know, the whole overall, but it's particular people in position that determine somebody's fucking career and fucking, you know, choices after that and shit. And especially if, you know, you didn't do nothing wrong to the point where they say you're doing something wrong, that's dead ass. Like, that ain't right. That ain't cool, no matter what, who, company, person is. But yeah, it left a bad taste, and it'll be forever. But, you know, and then, you know, I move on. You know, I got to move on. I got to keep fucking moving forward, you know. Like, I did what I did, and I, you know, put my guns out. I dropped what I dropped, and, you know, I continued to do my thing and shit. And then, and like I said, it was getting weird and shaky for a few years. So the team manager before had moved on to another company, and then I pretty much eventually went over there. You know, we're, you know, heads like that go, I'll probably end up going too, because they were always truthful and straight up to me and shit. So and it's just unfortunate for a type of company like that that I thought was a lot more core and a lot more straight and straightforward and, you know, honest, fucking wasn't. But, you know, like I said, it's power in position, you know, the people in position making these, you know, calls and judgments and shit, and off no base, off no fucking, you know, facts. So it's just, but yeah, it is what it is. You know, I did my time. Much love to the fucking team riders. That's it.
I love E-Man.
Yeah,
he's one of the homies for so fucking long. It's who was the dude? Was it Jordan? Who was the TM that you followed?
Jordan. Yeah, Jordan was. Yeah.
Oh, so where did he go? Did he go to Arbor?
Yeah, he went to Arbor for a while and shit, and then and then I jumped on over there, and you know, they've been fucking straight for me ever since and shit. It's fucking stand up, you know, that's all I can ask for, you know. So it's like, man, I do my part, y'all do your part. That's what we do, right? Like, I know what it is. Like, I'm not a dummy and shit, dude. And I feel like sometimes I feel like when you're a lot more conscious in this space, in this industry, and especially with company base, they don't like that shit. They don't like that fucking, like, you know your shit too. Cause I've been in situations where, like, get caught off guard, like I knew what I was talking about on things that they were doing, and then they gotta fucking, you know, they gotta cover their ass on some shit and, you know, do what they're gonna do. And, you know, I ain't the first one that, like, a lot of these things happen to, and that's what's like, yo, it's crazy. But, you know, there's plenty of heads that get caught in bullshit like that and grips of other people's shit and make fault and stuff like that. But I didn't think it was right. Didn't think it was cool. And it sucks. It comes from people that you know for years. It is what it is. And, you know, got to push on and shit. So here we are. We still pushing on, still doing my thing, still riding for Arbor, still skating, still stacking clips. Shit, who ain't got no clips, still stacking clips.
Hell yeah.
Nah, I'm just doing my thing and trying to deflect the bullshit now. You know, it's like you get to see a lot of insight on a lot of the industry and companies that, like, damn, like, a lot of things I wish I would have known before. I would have probably moved a little differently and shit, but
Arbor seems to be cool, huh? Like, who we got? Yeah, we got Grayson
Fletcher, Ace Pelka.
Oh yeah, Ace.
Amelia Brodka, myself, Jesse Arwood, Isaiah. Fuck, I'm missing somebody else. I'm blowing it. I should know these things.
Nah, it's all good.
You know who they are. Go look at the Arbor page. Go
to arborskates.com. Check out the team. And you know,
Sean Irons. There we go. Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Are they local, though? They're, like, in San Diego?
They're based out in Venice.
Oh, Venice. Okay.
Yeah, they're based out in Venice. They got a shop out in Venice, and then they got another shop here in San Diego. And then, you know, it's an overall bigger brand of, like, you know, snowboards, longboards, and street boards and stuff like that. So that's where we come into play and shit. So
but it's, you cool. Ever go snowboarding?
I've been once, and I fumbled down that hill like nobody's business, that they had to drag me and take me back down the hill because I fucking suck. And it's not the same as skateboarding. Whoever says that shit, y'all are tripping.
Dude, have you seen these guys that do snow skating where they're not binded in? Like John Shanahan just had a clip where he's like ollieing over a... That shit fucking blew my mind. Trey flipped downstairs. Like, I was like, what the...
That shit's wild.
Yeah.
That's right in my alley because I could bail.
I didn't spend a lot of time in the snow in my life. So, like, when I go up there, I'm freezing and I don't really understand the edge concept. So, like, I could snowboard, but I ain't great or nothing.
Yeah. I'm like, I did a couple little things and I'm like, I'm fumbling down this hill. And I got all of these little kids laughing at me. I'm like, I'm sorry, you little 4-year-old. I can't do it.
You can't spin a 9, bro? What
I know, right?
Fuck?
I can't spin a fucking 1080. Sorry, little flying fetuses and shit, dude. Like, yo, they're too good nowadays. Like, all these kids are younger and younger. They're insanely good. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, next level shit nowadays. Next level shit.
Looking back at the history of everything, like, you mentioned Billabong and Osiris, Santa Cruz, Black Label, Pig. What does one trip stand out to you? Like, this was just the shit.
It's one big trip.
The whole thing was a trip, bro. I've been smoking the whole time.
Oh, shit. There's definitely some highlights, man. Spain was always a good time. That was like Osiris days, but we went to Spain a lot.
Yeah.
Those days were fucking insane.
Who would show you around in Spain? Who were some of the homies? Like, the locals out there? Did you kick it with, like, Roberto or any of them?
It was always really just locals. I forgot who was really about it like that. A couple heads have already been out there on it. Like, Clint and all those heads are always out there and shit. Okay. So they, like, already knew of things. So we kind of just went with them.
Did you ever go with P-Stone?
No, we never.
Because Peace don't be like, there's a hot dog spot down the corner on the right, best hot dogs in Spain. And then over there's the beer, you get that for the, he's got it all. You're like, how the fuck do you know all this shit?
Right, you get the hashish down that alley and shit over there. And you're like,
come on, Schmitty, I've done a lot of miles out here. I've been out here.
I always that clip of Peace Stone, bro, of him hopping around the poles. Bro. Yeah.
Canary Island, dude.
Yo, he was wild and then just flap. You're like, yo, that's a big boy to be flapping like that, dude. Like, fuck.
Okay, that was the one time in the history that I've known Preston, and I think I met him 98 or 99-ish, like around there. In the history of me knowing him, after he ate shit in the Canary Islands was the one time where he, quote unquote, stopped drinking. But yeah. What that meant was he could only have 3 beers a day.
Oh my God.
Cause he was on this shit cause his leg was all infected. So he was on that, I forget what it is, but it's something to like clean out your infection. And the doctor's like, no drinking. He's like, yeah, that means just only 3 beers.
He was wilding. I know. Snuggy season and shit.
The Snuggy, dude. Boy,
that was our trip on the Indy trip. We started that shit. We bet him to wear Snuggy the whole fucking trip. I think it was only like a $100 bet or something like that. It was something just random. And then it was like, to top it off, hey, you mind just only eating leftovers the whole trip? And he was like, oh, fuck yeah, I could do that. Like, no, you couldn't do that. Yeah, I can. I'm like, oh, for real? So, yeah, everybody would kick down everybody's leftovers, and that's all he would eat for a fucking week. With the Snuggie on, all right? And this is in fucking, like, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona.
Was that the big Indy trip where they went around? It was, like, their anniversary or whatever?
No, it was a small trip. It was, a few heads. Chet, E-Man, myself, Taylor.
Rhino.
Yeah, Rhino. And there was another person I forgot, Keith.
Oh. Because I was talking to somebody about that. I was like, dude, I can't remember exactly, but I know there was a trip where the Preston wore a Snuggie the entire trip.
Hot as fucking hell. And like, he probably hardly even showered in that motherfucker.
Dude. Yeah, for sure.
He ate all the leftovers, wore a Snuggie, and filmed everything and did everything else on the fucking top of that. I'm like, yo, fucking champion style over here. But that was a classic trip, and that shit still gets fucking talked about to this day, dude. The fucking Snuggie season and shit, dude. Still killing it and skating in it too, dude. Fucking sickest backsmiths and fucking bowls and shit. Like,
Blunt. I miss that dude so much. We have a lot of him throughout the office, and sometimes it hits me wrong and I'm like, you just get hit by it differently different days, and it doesn't always compute, but like most of the time I'm stoked to, like, we got the keg killer thing up in my office and just reminds me of good times. But sometimes I'm like, fuck, dude, I miss him. Like, you know, like, it's hard sometimes. Are you guys working on a video or anything with Arbor?
Working on some things. I think everybody's like, does their, you know, separate individual thing. Collectively, we're about to go on a couple little things, a couple little projects, kind of just create as we go and shit. So, and got some new graphics coming out soon.
Oh,
so
sick.
We drop into, everybody's got graphics coming out soon for the whole squad. So everybody's going to have different, you know, collective segments, and probably just combine them all into one and make a whole overall layout. That's what it is these days. We stitch things.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of my boy Grayson, man. He's so fucking gnarly. Sometimes you just see him, like, when he turns it on, you're just like, damn, look out.
Yeah, out of nowhere too. It's like one of those dudes that he'll just show up and you're like, did you just wake the fuck up? Cause you just like, and how are you doing fucking like 5 foot, 10 foot, fucking 1 foot frontside airs on this shit right now? Like, you didn't even step foot on your board and you're already cracking them off. Like, how? And then, I mean, he's multi-talented too and shit, dude. That whole fucking family, damn.
I mean, they're royalty, especially in surfing. Like, Nathan, his dad was one of the, I think, what's his name? The grandpa is like one of the first people to ever skate a pool.
Wow, yeah, that's you know? History and shit. It's bound to, it was destined to be greatness over here and shit.
And if you're not following Dibby Fletcher on Instagram, you're sleeping, because her shit is epic. She's always dropping the craziest shit. I want to kind of end, if you're down, I want to kind of talk about like Black history and skateboarding and like what you've seen kind of like, and where we've come and what we got to do as far as like, I know we got some ways to go, but we've come some ways too, like acknowledging that, but like also kind of just like what your thoughts on all of it is.
Yeah. You know, especially that progression with, you know, in our space and skateboarding and shit, you know, the minorities of a lot of things and shit, you know, and obviously we're all minorities. We're all outcasts, you know, and that's why we all, you know, click up so well, because we all can relate. It doesn't matter really, you know, color, agenda, and a lot of things, you know, we could separate most of that shit, you know, and along the lines, there's a trickle of things that obviously, you know, seep out and shit and within and around, you know, so it's definitely come a long way, you know, in a lot of spaces and a lot of areas in the world today, you know, especially in skateboarding, because it was such a small little circle and group, you know, and there was only so many of us to, you know, progress and actually expand, you know, and do, you know, great things and shit, you know. So it's definitely opened up a lot more, you know, especially for the people that actually laid, you know, the blueprint, and, you know, the Ron Allens, the, you know, the Stevies, and for myself to, you know, come along and have a space.
Yeah.
And progress and, you know, be looked at as not less than just by, you know, based off color of skin or, you know, mentality and shit. So it's definitely grown a lot and it's progressed a lot, which is good to see. You know, I like things to be, you know, fucking diverse, you know. That's what Absolutely. I like. A lot of things that made things special were diversity and shit within this, you know. There's trickles of it, but I feel like it could be more diverse of spreading certain levels of everything, you know. So I feel like when I was on Osiris, we had a lot of diverse people of, like, you know, we had this type of group, we had this type of, and it was all meshed into one, and it was a collective, and it made it such a powerhouse of, like, you know, look at how many, like, the, you know, people that are brought together and shit, dude. And that's the greatest thing about skateboarding. No matter what the fuck we do and what we say, because some fools can say the most outrageous shit, but some people overlook that shit and escape. There's so many heads that have come along and have their opinions and two cents about certain people and shit, but, you know, they learn from certain things like that. They, you know, think and be. So, and especially the older generation too, is different now. So I feel like it's a lot more accepted, you know, banding together and becoming one with all of us and shit. So it has progressed a lot, and it's definitely something to see. And it's great to see a lot of people be in positions and have more shine and have more light on a lot of things, and not be judged so much and shit. Cause, you know, there's times that, you know, I was gotten told some things that I'm like, I would never think this would even be in this space in a million years, or being told how to look, how to be this, or watered down and shit. And I'm like, damn, how are you going to tell me to water down and shit? You're like, that's an insult in itself. But yeah, that's become a educational moment for a lot of people. But, you know, it's just educating, you know, the masses of certain things that may be, because a lot of things that would be overlooked and not be there, it's like, that never happens, or it's the same for everybody else. It's not. It should be. In certain cases, it's not. You know, and then you got to look through that to be like able to tell what's the difference and shit. But that, like I said, coming down to personal experiences, because not everybody has the same experiences as everybody else would throughout this whole thing. You know, some people got a smooth ride being, you know, same as myself, and had to deal with nothing, you know, so they won't really understand too much of that. But for me, I, like, you know, I've had to go through certain things that I'm like, damn, okay, like, I did not think it'd be like this. I don't think about it, but, you know, other people do. And people in positions, power in positions, you know, they look at things differently and shit, and they see things the way they want to see things, or they've experienced, and then they'll sometimes push it onto you when that's not the narrative and shit. So, and it's unfortunate, you know, that the way they see it, but, you know, it's all about educating and, you know, understanding and shit. And if you're willing to be open to understanding where certain people's perspectives is towards, you know, this issue, then you could probably see a clear vision of what they're, you know, trying to, you know, say and tell you and you know, bring together. Because, you know, all in the end, we're just trying to be.
Yeah.
We're just trying to be. We're just trying to live, and we're just trying to have fun. We're just trying to do what we do without all the extra stuff that just puts us in a fucked up place and a mindset and looks at a lot of things differently, and which we should really eliminate a lot of things. But yeah, it's definitely progressed, and I see a bright future for a lot of things. You know, a lot of people, a lot of brothers, a lot of, you know, everybody, you know, all races and shit. So it's like one big collective family coming together in such a fucking light, and we're all outcasts in this game and shit. So we're like, yo, we can relate off that. Fuck all the bullshit.
Yeah, it's just, it's to me like, and it's hard because, I mean, obviously I'm white. Here's my struggle is transparency versus authenticity. Like, yeah. Oh, we're going to do this because of this agenda instead of, yeah, like, no, this comes from the heart. Like, what kind of things to you are special that somebody like myself could do? And you'd be like, damn, that was sick that Schmitty did that or something. You know what I mean?
For sure. No, I feel that, you know, obviously, yeah, we black every month. We making history every month. Okay. Yeah. For the most part. Yeah. The narrative, it's like, obviously when it comes from a sincere, like a genuine thing from certain things, I think the only problem was like exploiting certain shit like that, you know. I talk about with companies and shit that they're just pertaining to a narrative of like, oh, we got to get on this bandwagon train, but after that we don't give a fuck about it, you know what I mean? I've seen that a few times a few years ago when they kind of like, it was a big thing, and then it kind of every company capitalized on it, and it was like, y'all don't really care, and what you did, where's your support for any of them? And I'm like, I don't see none of them. I don't see half of them on there. I don't see this. And I'm like, dude, like, okay, like, you can still be genuine and still push it and still, you know, appreciate it. But it's like the follow-up, you know? It's like, carry that, keep that same energy. Keep it going, you know what I mean? Keep that same respect. Keep that same authenticity to, you know, across the board, not just a day come or a month come and shit, you know? And that was like, all right, like I said, that's what I'm like, dude, keep it diverse and shit, you know? If you appreciate it so much, then maybe you should look into, you know, getting somebody that's diverse and, you know, if they don't already and shit, on that part. I've seen people kind of exploit it on that agenda just to,
for sure,
to make it seem like, almost seem like it's a black business, a support a black business type shit. And you're like, wait. I know y'all don't care, dude. Like, no, for a fact, because I know certain things about certain shit that I'm like, and I'm like, oh, that was good, because I know they have heads that they support heavily and they do push and promote. That makes sense, you know, and supporting certain movements and shit like that. So that was one thing I'm like, always kind of like, that's a little chip right there. But if it comes from a space of like, you genuinely, you know, respect, care, and you're really authentic about it, because you can really notice when people are pushing that and being like, yo, I appreciate it. Even if it is in the month of and shit, you know, it's like, yeah. Oh yeah, I'm posting, you know, Javante, like, because his tray football is out of this world and shit. And leave it at that, not just like, oh, this black dude, like, not paraphrasing it of being like that and shit, because we all are just pushing for the same thing of being equal in this society, this world, this country we're in and shit. And being less than is more or less, you know, and having not the same equal things across the board of like, oh, like getting things like how they put like white privilege and all this shit. And like, yo, there's levels to that of where you could take certain things and be like, it might not be their fault particularly, but that's just the way they are perceived and shit. You know, you might not be like, yo, you're not that dude, but you could be put in that category just by the fact that that's exactly how it is. Because unfortunately, that's just the history of it and shit. So until we break that and kind of, you know, spread that more around, then we can all kind of be like, oh, we're all on the same page, accepted, and we're all respected and shit, dude. And it's like, we don't have to, it's like the same thing, like Father's Day. One day, I'm a father every day now.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, love understanding.
And I don't know how much influence I have on anyone. Maybe they're like, do everything the opposite of that guy. But like, right. I'm like, hey, I'd rather do than talk. Like, I don't really like, dude, I love you, bro. Well, when was the last time you called me? oh, yeah. But dude, I love you. And you're like, no, we don't even talk.
I know, right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I want to do shit that like people can see and be like, huh.
If I understand certain things, but I'm trying to better understand and educate where the perspective is coming from when he says this or that in that situation, even if I'm like, why? Or like, really? But then you're like, oh, let me ask. And then, oh, okay, I understand that now coming from your perspective of, oh, okay, that really is. It puts me to think, okay, that really is like that and shit, because it's like I'm oblivious. It couldn't be like that and shit, but it really can. And that's exactly how it is. But I didn't know that. I didn't understand that unless I opened myself up to be, you know, better understanding what he was coming from or saying. You can't really fault nobody for really understanding, because that's the part of educational purposes too. Because if you didn't know that or didn't see that as a perspective, then you would never know that. And then if it was to happen anywhere else or to someone else, you were like, oh, I know exactly how that was and felt towards him and how he took it and shit. So, and that's the reality of it and shit. So, but yeah, the bigger picture and shit. So that's why I'm like, always keep it consistent. Don't leave anything out too. It's like, if you're going to include, if you're going to put parts and things like that, put, you know, accurate timelines and things that like, oh, people before this dude was that dude, people before that dude was this dude. It's like the whole scope of everything. I feel like some people do get excluded from it that are so like have pushed it and involved. And I'm like, just because they're not to say relevant or whatever nowadays or this, that doesn't mean their shit wasn't nothing or they didn't push to a certain level of nobody else could have got to, or the people that are here now wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for, you know, certain key players and shit. And you're like, damn, like these need to be included and shit. And some of the things I do see, which I was saying of like being excluded, I'm like, that's not the full picture. Like you're missing things that make these people or this thing happen. And they're like, but that was the pivotal moment. You got to include this in history. Like I said, it's history. Include the whole history.
Yeah, no, 100%. And communicating is so key. And like, I always, you know, these conversations, sometimes they're very difficult to have. But like, if we can have them in a way that's not so, the country's become so divisive with politics and everything. And if we can have a conversation where it's like, look, dude, I ain't trying to offend. I'm trying to learn and I'm putting my pride aside and we can disagree, but we can talk about it. And we can maybe have a perspective that we didn't have before. So it's like, dude, I didn't even look at it like that. And now I can see what you're saying or whatever it is. It might not change your mind, but you might look at it differently and then have a different reaction to all kinds of things. And slowly, I always tell my wife, I'm like, I'm the John Lennon, man. I got a dream that we're all going to just live in harmony.
You're planting them seeds. You got to plant them seeds and let them grow.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you don't plant them seeds, then they're not able to have growth and shit. So and it's like, it may take time. It may take, you know, however long. But to the point, well, you could see a clearer vision by just having that implemented in your head already that wasn't there. Or it'll probably open you up to a lot of things to have a different perspective of a lot of shit that you had prior to what you do now and shit. So I take that, you know, and I'm fucking, you know, I see that clearly and shit. And I believe in that too, you know. So I got to plant those seeds to, you know, let it fucking grow and spread itself and shit. And it'll find its way, you know, natural. It's natural. It'll come about.
Organic. Yeah, exactly. Well, dude, I appreciate you so much. If we're putting your playlist to use right now, what are some of your like two or three hits that you're fucking getting hyped on lately?
Okay. Charles Bradley, The World is in Flames. Or The World is in Flame. Yeah, one of those titles, but Charles Bradley, The World is in Flames, fire. Money Man and Larry June.
Larry June just played Sody Party.
Yeah, that shit was fire. Yeah, Interpreted. One of those titles. And then I would have to say, shit, what was I just listening to? Obviously, MF Doom, baby.
Dude, I was gonna say MF Doom is forever. We just had MF Doom Day up here. Like my homie Alon, that's an artist at Thrasher, he did this mask and all these fucking cool art shit, and they did a whole, they do an annual MF Doom Day here. It's pretty sick. Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought that was rad and shit. I'm like, man, love that dude and all his music. He was fucking amazing. But yeah, that I think that's top three. That's all MF Doom songs too. That's not
I'm down. Can we end one last question? First thing that comes to mind when you're asked what the gnarliest thing you saw someone do on a skateboard in person is?
Shit. Okay. Damn, there's a lot. But one that definitely comes to mind, fucking RIP, homie, Shane Cross, Smith Grind, 21 Stairs. Fucking first try. Fuck.
Where at?
Meerlands. Meerlands High. The rail before the main rail everybody skates and shit. But yeah, he smooth around that shit in person. It was, and he was young too, young cat and shit.
You know, Shane was so good.
Yeah, that was fucked. I'm like, and that's, dude, people weren't skating 18 stair rails like that, all right? So, you know, when he came out of nowhere, it was like, yo, this fucking Australian kid is fucking shit up. And he smooth grinded him no problem. Like, how do you approach that? Like, I guess so. But dude, yeah, honestly, that was random fucking thought. That definitely is right there. I'm like,
I back that. Hell yeah. Flip at that time was so important. Like Rolly, Arto, Bulala, Shane, and the kids, David Gonzalez and Curran. They're like Louis Lopez, like little guys. Man, yeah, there's some gnarly skateboarding right there.
Yeah, when PJ's was it Really Sorry or is it Sorry? I forgot which one.
I think Really Sorry.
And that was with Louis and all those heads too in there too. They were little.
Oh yeah, Bastion and Appleyard. Yeah. Like,
fuck, man. Those times, those videos were something else and shit. Dude, I swear they don't make videos like they used to. There's still really good videos out there, but I swear, like the nostalgic classics ones that you're like, I'm still watching this 10 years from now.
Exactly. Yeah, dude.
It's fucking what a time. What a time for skateboarding and shit, dude. Love it. Fucking
hell
love
yeah. Dude, thank you so much. I fucking love you. Appreciate the time and everything. Good catching up. Hit me up anytime if you're up this way, especially. I'm coming down there for February 22nd is Hewitt's birthday, and they're going to do a big thing at Washington Street, and they're going to have a party at, I'm not sure, somewhere by Barrio Logan, and they're going to, like, we're going to make a video, like, 50 years of Hewitt, like, greatest skating and stuff. So maybe if you're around, that'd be a good time to link up. But I got to go visit Cranny and fucking all the old homies.
Nice. I saw him the other day, too, and shit. So, you know, all the heads to Blender and shit. They
Jimmy
out there.
Cow.
Yep. Everybody's around. We doing it. We still living. We still skating. We here. Watch out now.
Well, big love, man. If you're coming up this way or anything, let's link up or whatever.
Yeah. Sounds great, man. Much love. I appreciate you having me always.
Hell yeah.
Doing it. Talker Schmidt. Talker Schmidt. You.
Take care of yourself.
My man, you too. Peace out.
Yeah.
You.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Oro Coffee. That's some damn good coffee. Order one or six bags at orocoffeeroasters.com.
Y'all like music? Because you're listening to SMFM.
Hello, hello, thank you. Hello, hello, good people. Thank you for sticking around for episode 2 of SMFM, where today I'm going to play for you Good As Gone from Vancouver, British Columbia, with their song Blue Collar Blues.
We'll be right back.
from Vancouver, British Columbia. Find them on Instagram at Good As Gone Band. Love one another. See you next week for the hottest in underground music at SMFM, your spot for new music. Peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com. where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa. Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.